Go ahead and open your Bibles tonight to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll just take a peek at Galatians 5. We'll go over there in a moment as well, and hopefully you'll know where I'm headed. The things I'm going to say tonight at one time used to be common sense, but I'm not sure if there is any of that left anymore. Some of the things you think you just people should know and primary taught in the home. It's not anymore. And so we're dealing with it tonight a little bit. So common sense things I hope will be a help to you. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2, as we're handing out the sheet, let's just go ahead and look at one. Well, let's just read in verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Verse 24 is what we're kind of looking at as a springboard into the message tonight. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Go over to Galatians chapter 5, read a verse there. And verse 22. As we look at the fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We'll pray right here. Father, please bless the message. I pray as I preach your word that you'd please fill me afresh and anew with thy Spirit. Lord, I pray, Lord, that these things that were once considered common sense that have been lost, it seems, for the most part, that you would bring them back to our minds and hearts tonight. Please help us to understand as we deal with biblical masculinity. And so I pray, again, you'd help me as I preach. Pray if someone's here not saved, they get saved tonight. And for the believer, Lord, the men particularly, the young men in particular, even more so, that we would have an understanding of what your word teaches in this area tonight. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In May of 2018, Wendy Osefra, she's a liberal professor at Johns Hopkins University. She appeared on a news segment. Actually, it was a Fox News segment. You know, they have two people and they get kind of a view on two different things. I'm sure you've seen that before. But the subject that was being posed was this: is chivalry dead? And of course, Wendy Osefra, liberal professor, said the following, at least in part, and I thought it was interesting. She said, quote, "We have evolved the conversation of what it means to be a woman in today's society. What it means is that we are doing it all. We are not the mothers of our past. We are not damsels in distress here. We can open doors for ourselves and do things for ourselves." That's what she said. A lot of women feel that way today, too, by the way. One author in another article wrote this: 30 years ago, the roles of women were very different to that of today. Women were socialized, notice the language, to attend exclusively to home and family tasks. Marriage was considered to be a girl's destiny. Men were the breadwinners and the disciplinarians, which meant women had even less power. Today, women are becoming bosses and hold influential positions in society. Chivalry is harmful to both men and women because it reinforces this idea that women need to be helped or saved by a stronger man, and it takes away a woman's strength. Interesting. You know, this is a view that many women hold today. I believe that all of us would agree that the roles of men and women in our culture have dramatically changed. No doubt about it. And there's a lot of confusion about what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman. Do you know what it means? Do I know what it means anymore? Suzanne Venker authored a book entitled The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage. In it, she wrote this, "The I can do it by myself, I am strong enough, you don't need to open the door for me, you don't need to pay my way mentality has men and women completely confused and lost about who is supposed to do what and who wants what. We are infused with the message that men and women are the same when they are not. It is in their DNA to provide, speaking of men, to provide and protect." Amen. And that's true. Both men and women today are confused about what their roles are. But while the world may keep be confused, and they are, and it is a different culture that you and I live in, and even many Christians are confused, can I say this? God's not confused.
Amen.
It's not confused at all. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 14:33 states, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." May I say this? Whenever you get away from the Word of God, that's where you're going to end up.
Amen.
Confusion. God has designed men and women to be different. Genesis 1:27. "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." And while yes, men and women are both of equal worth in the mind of God, and they are equally loved of God, they have each been given by God different roles, different responsibilities, and different assignments in this world. We have to get that straight. And the very best thing that a person can do with regards to this subject is to understand their role and responsibility and fulfill it, regardless of what is going on in our culture. So Wednesday evenings, that's what I've been trying to do. I'm trying to help us, trying to help myself, because we get brainwashed with this stuff. We really do. And we've been dealing with, if you notice, helps for the home. And more specifically, the subtopic of biblical masculinity. Now again, we'll deal with biblical femininity in a little bit, but we're answering the question, what does it mean to be a man? In God's mind, in God's eyes, what is God's purpose? What is biblical masculinity? And the role and responsibilities of a man are clearly laid out for us in the Bible. And what's very important for us to understand as well is that these roles and responsibilities transcend time. They transcend cultures. In other words, they're for all people of all time. Whether it was Adam in the Garden of Eden, whether it was Abraham with Sarah, whether it was in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it be the 1800s or the 1900s or today, the roles and responsibilities of men and women are still the same. Did you notice how one woman used the word, we're evolving, kind of, you know, that's kind of how we're growing. You know, culture's changed, life has changed, people have changed. Please don't miss that. That's a wrong philosophy. God is the same.
Amen.
And He always will be. Same today, yesterday, today, and forever. And they are, these roles and responsibilities are what's best for us, what's best for the individual, what's best for our families, what's best for our society as a whole, because the God who created us knows best.
Amen.
So far we've dealt with three different traits of masculinity. We saw trait number one several weeks ago. Man was made to work. We're physically different. We're stronger. We're to bear the brunt of this stuff. That's what we're supposed to do. Trait number two, man was made to provide.
Amen.
And then last week when we dealt with this, or the last time we dealt with this, we saw that a man should have courage.
Amen.
And then tonight we're going to deal with a subject. I'd like to look at his fourth trait, and we won't have too many more, but I'd like to keep going because we need this stuff. Amen. I don't want the women to fall asleep, though. But at least you can elbow the guy next to you or whatever. But notice the title, a biblical man, watch this, is a gentleman.
Amen.
He's a gentleman. Now think about that for a moment, because this is kind of where the balance comes in. What I mean by that is this, the Bible teaches that a man should be strong. He should be a hard worker. He should be courageous. He should be self-sacrificing. He should be willing to bear the load, pay the price, endure hardship for his God and for his family, willing to fight if necessary to defend his nation and his family, himself, and biblical principles. That's what we ought to be. We're to be strong, amen? But at the same time, the Bible also teaches that we're to be gentle.
Amen.
We're to be gentle. You know, a man who is gentle is known as a gentleman. Well, that's a profound statement, is it not? A gentleman. Are you a gentleman, young man? Are you a gentleman, mister, in the pew tonight? When people look at you and say, boy, that person, that he's a Christian gentleman. Do you know that being a gentleman is commanded by God? Gentleness is. We saw that in our text, 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must, notice, if you want to be a servant of God, there's some musts that are here. You must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. We're to be gentle. Do you know gentleness is a part of the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. I read it just a few moments ago. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If you are to be a man that is filled with the Spirit of God, then you are to be a gentleman. You're to be gentle. If you're not filled with the Spirit of God, and then you won't be. Do you know that gentleness is a trait that was displayed by the Apostle Paul? Often we think of the Apostle Paul, a man's man, amen? I mean, preaching the Word, enduring hardship for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that he was a gentleman as well? Let me show you. Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you would, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. As he speaks to the church of Thessalonica of his coming into them, what he was like in verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, verse 1. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel with much contention. Let's go down to verse 5. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor of men saw we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Notice this, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Notice he's speaking of the gentleness, how he treated them gently. Notice, if you would, as we go on, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Notice the gentleness that's there. So gentleness is commanded by God. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness was displayed by the Apostle Paul. But you know that gentleness was also a trait ascribed to the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Jesus Christ, a man's man, I believe anyway. The perfect man, amen? You want a model to model yourself after? Look at him. What was he like? No doubt a bold preacher, amen. Notice strong, no doubt. But he was also gentle. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. The Bible says, now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. He was gentle. Can I say he was a gentleman? So what does it mean? Notice on your sheet, none of that was on there if you were looking for it. Wasn't there. You could have wrote it down if you want. But notice, a gentleman is someone who is mild and kind. What does it mean to be a gentleman? To be kind. It has the idea of a man, yes, a man's man, but he also shows courtesy. He shows kindness. He shows respect. He has propriety. He shows politeness. He's a man that has manners and understands the role of a man and the role of a woman. Amen. He is ready to help the weak. He is ready to defend the helpless. Part of being a man, understand tonight, is learning the value of gentleness.
Amen.
And a biblical man is a gentleman. So let's look at that tonight as we look at a few places. I'm going to give you real quick three areas that we should be a gentleman in. Notice number one, he's a gentleman with women. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. What does it mean to be a gentleman with women? Well, let's read it. 1 Timothy chapter 5. We'll just read verse 2. Note it. Well, let's read verse 1. We're going to read this again when we get to the second point. But notice, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The elder women, notice, as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity, honor widows that are widows indeed. You see, a real man conducts himself with honor towards women. Now notice the three groups that we see in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that men are to treat the elder women as their mother. That's how you're supposed to treat them. And then notice the younger women we are to treat as our sister with all purity. And then in verse 3, we're supposed to show special honor to widows as well. Can I put it this way? Men are to be gentlemen towards all women.
Amen.
All of them.
Amen.
You know, every man should treat every woman with great respect. No matter who she is, no matter what she's like, treat her with respect. Treat her with courtesy and treat her with gentleness.
Amen.
Can I say this? This begins in your home.
Amen.
Young man, if you're not treating your mother or your sister with respect or courtesy, you are not right with God.
Amen.
You are not right with the Lord. To have this idea that I can just mouth off to my mother and say whatever I want to my sister and talk down to her, understand something. You are not right with God.
Amen.
Be a good time to get right with Him tonight. Husband, by the way, if you're not treating your wife, oh, you may treat others with respect and courtesy. What about your own wife?
Right.
How do you treat her? If you're not treating your wife with respect and courtesy, you too are not right with God as well.
Amen.
You see, a man's behavior towards all women should be beyond reproach.
Amen.
Must never be crude. Must never be rude to women. We must never be disrespectful to them. Our words ought to be careful. Our words ought to be kind. Our words ought to be pure.
Amen.
By the way, if they are older, and you're a young man in particular, but if they're older, they should always be addressed in the proper way, as Mrs. or Miss, showing your respect. And there's things that used to be done and used to be taught, but it seems like they're not anymore. You say, why, preacher? Because I have eyes and so do you. As a man, we still should be doing things like this, holding open a door for a woman.
Amen.
We still should be doing things like giving up our seat for a woman. I can't stand that when we go to the airport sometimes. We get on these shuttle buses and they get packed and you see men sitting there and you see an elderly woman or just a lady, any lady for that matter, get on the bus and guys just sit there with their arms folded while this lady's trying to hang onto the pole while this thing's going down the road. And I'm thinking, what in the world? Where are the gentlemen of this world? We should allow women to go first. Amen. Young man, stop running to the head of the line, will you? Let the ladies go first.
Amen.
That should be the normal behavior of a man towards any woman. By the way, even after you're married.
Amen, brother.
Sometimes you Romeos are pretty good at that when you're trying to win them, opening the door and being Mr. Gentleman. But 3, 5, 10, 15, 20 years later, you're running ahead, a mile ahead of them as you're walking somewhere. Or you're just letting them go their own way, not even being the gentleman you're supposed to be. God help us. What kind of example are we showing to these young men if that's what we do? By the way, never mistreat a lady or allow anyone else to do so in your presence.
Amen.
Speak up. Say something. Hey, don't speak like that. Don't talk like that to a lady. A man should be prepared to die to protect his wife, to protect his mother, to protect his sisters. Why is that? Because we're gentlemen.
Amen.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
Young ladies should always feel safe, sacred, and special in your presence, mister. Be kind, but be careful that nothing that you say or do would be construed as flirtatious or improper. Because that's the kind of society we live in today.
Amen.
God help us. They should, a young lady, or any lady for that matter, should never feel threatened. They should never feel invaded. They should never feel uncomfortable in your presence.
Amen.
Be pure in your thoughts.
Amen.
And words. And actions.
Amen.
Don't get up in some people's face. Don't talk to other men's wives in a way you shouldn't talk to them. Don't do that. Don't talk to someone's daughter in a way you shouldn't talk to them. Stop that. Be a gentleman.
Amen.
What happened to that? You see, a gentleman refuses to view women as sex objects. I know that's not what the culture is today, because that's what it's all about. But when speaking to a woman, understand your words ought to always be appropriate. And by the way, your eyes should always be looking at her eyes.
Amen.
And nowhere else. And your mind should remain respectful and pure. Understand, by doing this, you are protecting both your reputation and hers as well. This is what a gentleman does. You may not agree with this, but this is just the way I feel. I don't think a man should have a close friend that's a woman. I just don't think, and vice versa. I don't. And I know you feel the same way, because I want you to imagine if I told you, tomorrow I'm going to go out to lunch with some lady here, and my wife's going to stay home. Well, we're just friends. How many would think that's okay? Raise your hand. Let me get away from her before she swings at me. All right? How many think that's okay, honestly? Nobody does, right? So why would it be for somebody that's not the pastor? Why? It's not. I just don't think. I think you can be cordial and friendly to people, but to have this close friendship with someone of the opposite sex, I think that's not what a gentleman does. It just doesn't look right. I'm just saying. Remember something. Every woman is somebody's grandmother, mother, wife, sister, or daughter. One of those. And you ought to respect them and be a gentleman. What happened to this stuff anyway? I don't know. I was reading an article, January 6, 2017, article by a person, a lady actually named Renee Zografos, I believe is her name, if I pronounce that right. But it was entitled this, "Where is the American Gentleman?"
Amen.
That's what she said. You know, I truly believe every woman wants men to be a gentleman. I really do. I believe that. This idea of I can do it on my own and this sort of thing, I think that's just hogwash, honestly. I think deep inside a woman wants to be treated like a lady. She wants to be treated with respect. She wants to be seen as special and so forth. I think that's so important. But anyway, she writes, "Where is the American gentleman?" She wrote in the article, quote, "For years, people abroad have witnessed American behavior collapse drastically on several areas. American men were once synonymous with well-behaving, kind people who had a socially accepted etiquette. They hold the door open for ladies. They talk to them with respect. American men always dressed sharp, were well articulated, and could behave themselves in any circumstances. Their spouses were treated like queens." She goes on to say, "The past two or three decades, a lot has changed. American men are now known as selfish, rude, with terrible manners. To hold a door open for someone, help another person, or say kind and nice words is quite unusual these days." Now, I understand. I'm a man. I understand. There are ladies that are like that. One lady, "Don't hold the door for me." And it's caused us to kind of retract. But I want to say this. Let's step up and do the right thing. Hold the door anyway. Do the right thing. If they don't accept it, they don't accept it. But may God help them to see a godly Christian gentleman in this world. And it's not in it for the wrong reasons, but just in it to be a gentleman. This is what biblical masculinity is. Yes, it's being strong. Yes, it's being having discipline and all that, but it's also being a gentleman.
Amen.
And particularly a gentleman with women.
Amen.
Okay, so number one, a biblical man is a gentleman with women. Number two, a biblical man is also a gentleman with the aged. With the aged. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 5 if you haven't turned from there. Notice in verse 1. Notice we read, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father." Notice, if you would, in verse 2, "the elder women as mothers."
Amen.
Do you know that being a gentleman means, yes, treating women with respect and dignity and honor and being a gentleman, but it also means that you show great respect towards aged men and aged women as well?
Amen.
We don't see that a lot today either.
Right.
We really don't. You see, as opportunity allows, do what you can as a Christian man, as a Christian gentleman, to really make their life easier if you can. You say, how so? How about this? Speak to them. Just talk to them. I wonder if I would ask, how many young guys that are maybe 20 or 25 and younger, how many of you in this church have talked to someone, I mean, had a real, real bona fide conversation and pursued someone who is perhaps 60 or older and really tried to learn something from them? I'd say probably the numbers were low. That's just my guess. And perhaps it's because, you know, what I see in people. But I'm telling you, speak to them. And may I say, speak kindly to them. Speak humbly to them. Speak gently to them. By the way, remember that age comes to us all.
Right.
Who was it? Philip was just up here. He brought up this little Bible right before service. He said, look at this Bible. Look at it. And it said in there, he got it in 2009, right? 2009. I said, yeah, I was 2 years old. I said, 2 years old in 2009? Man, do I feel old. I thought, wow, I'm doing the math here. I'm thinking, man, I mean, wow, that doesn't seem that long ago. But the truth of the matter is, time flies, does it not? I mean, look in the mirror, it flies, amen? It flies for all of us. And understand, what you sow in this area of respect towards the elderly, the aged men and women, understand, someday you are going to reap. Oh, I remember those days when I was in my early 20s. Man, that guy that was 33 years old and married and had a house, I thought that was an old dude right there. I really did. I said, man, you're old, you know. And I think, wow, you know, but look what happens to us all. But anyway, Joshua 23:14, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. Very sooner, and sooner than you think, you young person are going to age as well, and it's going to go by fast.
Amen.
And God is telling you, all of us as men, to treat every aged woman as your mother. And every aged man as your father. Can I say this? Take time to listen to them. I was so foolish as a young man. I wasn't saved, so that's my excuse for a lot of things I did. But just not listening sometimes to people that had so much wisdom for me. If I would have just stopped and shut my mouth and opened my ears a little bit, it would have saved me a lot of heartache. But I tell you what, once I got saved, I wanted to know everything about my mom and her past and all that. I do, and I still to this day, I call up. I said, Mom, my mom, she grew up in France. That's where she was. She didn't get to the United States until she was 26. When she was 12 years old, the Nazis invaded France, invaded Paris, invaded France while she was there. She was outside playing. She was coming in a bathing suit. The Nazis had come through. They all ran. They got on a train, and they all piled on a train. And for the next couple weeks, they had to run from place to place. They had no clothes. All she was in was a bathing suit, trying to get food. And the men had to go into stores and loot stores to get anything. And they got potatoes for the people just to feed them. She lived through that. That means a lot to me. But you know, as a kid, I didn't care about that stuff. How stupid I was. Because her life experience and the history of all that. I mean, you can glean from the aged men and aged women. You can glean from their life experiences. Young men, you can glean from their knowledge and wisdom. Give them your time and attention.
Amen.
That's what a gentleman does. He doesn't look down his nose upon them and think, well, they can't even operate an iPhone. They can't even do that. They don't know nothing, you know. They don't even have an internet, a Facebook page. They don't even have this. Oh, be quiet.
Amen.
There's more to life than an iPhone. And by the way, that iPhone's going to be old in about 2 years. You'll have to figure out the next one in a moment anyway. There's more to life. There's more wisdom in life than the little gadgets that we have.
Amen.
You can glean from an aged man and an aged woman some wonderful things. By the way, if your grandparents are alive, you ought to cherish them.
Amen.
Listen to the stories of your heritage. Learn from them your history.
Amen.
Learn from them the history of our nation. By the way, they do a lot better job of it than Wikipedia does. People are changing history today. I'm telling you. People saying the Holocaust never happened and this never happened and this. Come on now. I mean, you can glean so much from the personal experiences of the elderly, their life. Again, there's much more to life than just the gadgets you hold.
Right.
And the gentleman, what he does is he understands that. He respects the elderly. He respects the aged man. He respects the aged woman and cares for them. So we see, number one, a biblical man is a gentleman with women. He's also a gentleman with the elderly. Then thirdly and lastly, a biblical man is a gentleman with children. Go over to Matthew chapter 18. You know, the Lord had a lot to say. Oh, we're going to be done nice and early tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord had a lot to say about children.
Amen.
Notice Matthew chapter 18. Let's read a few verses here. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Well, there's some powerful words. You ever see a millstone? They're pretty heavy, you know. Those big round, right, concrete things with the little things in the millstone. He says, if you mess with a child, just go ahead and take one of those. It'd be better for you if you put one of them around your neck with a chain and be cast into the sea. That's pretty strong words.
Amen.
Christ cared for children. Let's look at chapter 19 and verse 13, just a little bit here, of Matthew. "Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence." Did you notice that every time that a child came to Jesus, they weren't afraid of him?
Praise the Lord.
They weren't, "Oh, what are we going to do?" No, he took time for children. He invested in children. He warned here of the stern judgment for those who mistreated them. He saw in them great potential. You know, it used to be different. I remember when I was growing up, we lived in a few different places. One of the places I remember was in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And I was about in second grade there and up to a little bit more so. But one of the things I remember is that we used to go on the weekends. We had a big field. We had a backyard and a fence. And then there was a school, Joyce Kilmer Elementary School. And then a big field. It used to be a farm. They bought the farm and built the school there. But we still had this field behind us. And what was interesting was we would go out there just about every weekend when the weather was good. And the adults would organize a big softball game for everybody, you know. They invested time in us. I mean, I was little. I was real little. And I remember because they let everybody bat and they wanted to influence everyone for good. And I remember when I got up to bat, I mean, I couldn't barely swing a bat. And they'd come up real close and everybody'd come in, you know. And they'd always shout this, "NC, NC, NC." And I don't know what that was, you know. So, and I, if I hit the ball, I'm running, you know, I was out every single time. Well, it didn't take me a while, but later I found out what NC stands for. Anybody know what NC stands for? No count. In other words, my out didn't count. I just pretend like, just let him do his thing, you know, and pretend he's going to think he's in the game, but he's really not in the game. Yeah, that's what NC is, you know. But my point is this, is that that's what and I remember even teenagers at times teaching us games, kick can in the street. And how many remember stuff like that? I just do. And it was almost like it was passed down to the next generation. You don't see that anymore.
Amen.
You don't see men. And I understand the child stuff that goes on. I understand that. We need to be careful with all that stuff. What I'm saying here is this, there's a proper way to invest in young people. Get involved. Hey, here's an idea.
VBS.
Ah! Oh, I'm sorry. You had to say that, huh? Well, there's one, but there's other ways, amen? But really, I mean, understand that a gentleman understands that children need role models. Children need mentors. By the way, their parents certainly are, but besides that, I remember my son J.R. was growing up, and it's kind of neat watching him kind of figure out, you know, we didn't want to say, you're doing this with your life. We just prayed, and hopefully he would choose the right thing. Well, he wanted to be just about everything. You know, one time when we came here, where's Brother Mike Wheeler? Where's Brother Mike? Is he here? Where's Brother Mike? He's back there. Okay. He's out there. Good, I can talk about him. What Mike, he did all along the way, when he saw somebody that impressed him, he wanted to be what they were. One of the guys was Brother Mike. When he came, I want to be a policeman because of Brother Mike. You know? My point is this, is that you're going to see that as a parent, as your boys and kids get older, they're looking for somebody that they can model, that cares for them, that mentors them, that would be that role model. And a gentleman understands that. He understands my behavior has to be Christian. I have to be honorable at my job. I have to work hard. I have to be a man of dignity. I have to invest in kids. The world's word I know is mentor them. Use the word or don't use the word. Whatever. I think we understand what it means. They need that. And a gentleman understands that. Do you know that children are so easily influenced? They're so vulnerable. I always laugh when I come in the morning and your class and those kids. You know, I have two of the kids, or actually three of them, are my grandkids are in the little kids class, the preschool class, right? And so every morning they come, Poppy! And they come and they hug me. And I love that. I do. I really do. But what happens is they all do that now. Poppy or Pastor. I'm like, listen, what do you do? My point is this. They're influenced. You see what I mean? They need somebody. They need gentlemen. What are our young boys saying? What are they saying in us? Are they seeing men that treat women right? Are they seeing husbands that really do love their wives? Are they seeing men that treat the age with respect and dignity and all that? You know, mistreating a child's terrible, no doubt. And I think that's what it is. They're so vulnerable. I think that's why Jesus Christ said what he said here. Because if you lead them astray by a bad example, if I lead them astray by a bad example or immaturity or some sort of indecency, I think that's what he's talking about here. You and I need to, as men, realize they're watching us. They're watching us. And what they need more than anything are Christian gentlemen. That's what it means to be a man. You're a man. Yeah, I'm a man. I'm a man. Yeah, watch my football. Eat my hot wings. That's right, and my tater chips. That's right. I hold the remote. I sit in the lounge chair. That's me. I'm a man. That's not what a man is.
Amen.
Stop already. Stop already. Yes, he provides. Yes, he's a protector. Yes, he has courage.
Amen.
He's also a gentleman.
Amen.
He's a gentleman. Gentleman with women. With the aged and with children. So I ask you tonight, we're done right here. Are you acting like a Christian gentleman? That's what it means to be a man. If you're not, you know what? You're still a boy in a man's body is what you are. Grow up.
Amen.
Be a gentleman.
Amen.
Let the ladies go first.
Amen.
Treat them right. Well, they'll do this. Yeah, I understand that. I understand that. But we don't go by what they do. We go by what that book says.
Amen.
And the Bible says that we, the servant of the Lord, must be gentle.
Amen.
All right, let's pray.